want to share today from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through to the end. Just about, right, so we may get it all done. And want to just talk about the armour of God for taking ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that today the church needs to ensure that the armour of God is on and that they are ready to take ground and see the kingdom of God coming into its fullness and see the church coming into its fullness and that God will be glorified in all these things. So that's Ephesians chapter 6 and starting at verse 10. Just kind of just read, I think read through to about 19 initially.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armour of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the full armour of God, that you may be able to resist the devil in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints.
That's fine. Praise God. Yeah. Today, our battle is against spiritual powers. It is not against other human beings, but it is against principalities and powers. And Paul, I love the book of Ephesians, and Paul here is just reminding the church as he's coming to the end, he sort of says, finally, which means, when that word there, finally, means to be empowered in. So he's basically saying to them now, come on, be empowered in the strength of the Lord. Be strong in God. And so today for us, as the Church of Jesus Christ, today we battle against principalities and powers. We don't battle against personalities of individuals. Sometimes it might seem like that, but underneath there is that underlying principle of spiritual battles going on. If we consider even in our Bible studies of what we have been studying recently with Elijah and Ahab and Jezebel, underlining all of what was going on were spiritual powers, were principalities and powers that were working against the people of God, because the people of God were allowing these things to happen because they had turned away from God. And they'd turned their eyes on their selfish ideas, selfish things, and they'd turned their eyes on to just themselves and seeking to just glorify themselves rather than glorify God. And the church needs to, these days, needs to come back to a place of coming into the presence of God, glorifying Jesus, uplifting Jesus, and not uplifting itself. And so today, the church has got to face these spiritual battles. It's not about programs. It's about spiritual battles. It's about taking over at the land that God has given to us. It's about taking possession of what God has given to us as the Church of Jesus Christ. And so we're in spiritual battles, and actually we're dealing with situations regarding hell. We, you know, the devil wants to take all humanity to hell. Yeah. And you know, Jesus came to deliver all of humanity from a hell. Yeah. And so it's today for us, we need to be empowered by the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And in being filled with the Spirit, like we talked about in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came in and tongues of fire appeared on the disciples and they spoke in tongues, that point they were being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The tongues was an outward sign. We don't pray for people to speak in tongues. We pray for people to be empowered by the Spirit of God. And when you are empowered by the Spirit of God, you will see things change. You will see circumstances change.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10 in the Living Bible says, last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. And I find that's an interesting statement there, that Paul is saying to the church, he's saying, look, you need to find that strength that has been given to you by Almighty God. He gave it to you. He gave it to empower you, and you need to learn to use it and to use it effectively. And we need, as the Church of Jesus Christ, to learn to use the power of God to change situations, to change circumstances that would seek to come against us. It says in Matthew chapter 18 and chapter 16, it talks there that Jesus says, I give to you all power and all authority in my name.
Yeah.
This is where we need to get back to as church people. This is where we need to get back to as individuals. I remember a situation once. This might seem a small thing, but this was a big thing. I was in a church and we were doing a new building, and we were doing some adding some more space to it, etc. All the plans had been passed, everything had been agreed, and everything was going forward, and nobody objected until things started to be going up and being built, and then suddenly somebody decided to object. Well, we had to stop building, and it looked like we were going to have to pull some of this building down. And the person would not back off at all. And it was said, well, let's go and have a meeting with them. And I just felt in the spirit, well, all God was saying to me was, pray about it. Take your authority over this situation and pray into it.
Yeah.
But we went to see them, and we actually got nowhere. So I then said to our pastor, I said, come on, we need to pray. We're going to do some spiritual warfare.
Amen.
And for 30 minutes, we began to pray about this situation. Some of it, we were just praying in tongues, not knowing exactly what to pray. But, you know, at one point, both of us just suddenly stopped in an instant after about, say, 30 minutes. And we looked at one another and we said, it's done.
Amen.
We knew right there and then, after that time of prayer, that the answer was done. It was completed. There was no need to worry. There was no need to fret. Everything would be going forward. And within a few days, we had a message from the planning permission to say, carry on. It's okay. Just do it. And that was the answer to prayer. We had to do spiritual warfare. We had to confront the demonic that did not want the work of God to progress.
Mm-hmm.
And the demonic wants to stop us.
Yeah.
And so our power is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our power is through the power of the Spirit working in our lives and changing things that the devil would seek to put against us. And so that scripture where Jesus says, I give to you all power and all authority, we need to take that on board. We need to realize that it is there for our life. It is there for our benefits to see the kingdom of God being fulfilled within our lives and within the lives of others that we come into contact with. And so praise God. And it's so great. We were down at the rehab center on Friday, and there was two guys, weren't there?
Mm-hmm.
Two guys that we've been trying to get into the rehab for months, and in one case for 2 or 3 years, and one of them, well, both said, oh, we can do it ourselves, we're quite capable, we can get this, we can do this. They never did it. In the end, they had to go into that rehab center, and you know, they're both saying this is the best thing that they ever did.
Yeah.
And thank God for that. And you know, when we surrender to God, then God can start the process of dealing with our lives and changing us, shaping us and molding us, because God has a purpose. God has a plan for your life.
Yeah.
Just remember that. You're not a number. You're not an accident looking for somewhere to happen. God has a special plan for you, and God intends, God's desire is that those plans be outworked in you. And so it is important. So God wants you to be filled with his presence. God wants you to be filled with his spirit. God wants to empower you. And so as we look then in verse 11, he says, Paul says, put on this, put it on. This is not, there is nowhere when you read through this scripture where he says, take any of this armor off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is on for good.
Yeah.
This is super sealed. It's stuck on with gospel glue. It's going to stay there forever. That's what it's there for, to protect us. And so Paul says, put on this. It is permanent. It's a permanent spiritual garment that you and I are to wear constantly, because the devil is seeking, it says, to steal, kill and destroy. The devil is crouching at your door to attack you. He's looking for every opportunity. And yet God is saying to Paul, he's saying, put on the armor. It's permanent. Wear this constantly. When we come to Christ, we come to him as a permanent situation, a permanent relationship. It's not always easy, but there we face these challenges. We walk this walk and we grow and we change as we draw closer to God. We change as we allow God to touch us and to minister to us. As we allow the presence and the word of God to come into our lives, we change. And so in our changing, we are molded into his image and into his presence and into his glory. And God wants to use each and every one of us for his praise and for his glory. He wants you to know his power. He wants you to know him flowing through your life. And so the reason that we are to wear this spiritual armor in constantly is because the devil is always seeking to attack us. He's seeking to get us down and to destroy us. And so we are to make sure that we give him no ground.
Yeah.
You know, because we are dealing with wicked spirituals. So often behind a person who may be vindictive towards you in some way, there is a spirit behind it. There is a spirit that is driving that person to attack you. Because sometimes we see the outside rather than we see it, which is the natural, rather than seeing the supernatural, what is going on. And we have to deal with these things. We have to take those challenges and meet them, but we meet them through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We meet them through the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit working in us and moving us forward.
Yeah.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it tells us there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, and Paul talks so that no advantage should be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. In other words, we need to be aware of what the enemy is planning. We need to be aware of Satan's tactics. He knows where he can find our weaknesses. He seeks to attack us in our weaknesses. So to some people it might be money. To some people it might be being a workaholic, and we waste we work and work and work and we forget to give God his time, and it begins to weaken us. Some people, we just focus on finance, and when things start getting a bit difficult with finances, we begin to panic and we lose sight of God and we focus on the money. Some people, it's relationships. And so we have to realize where our weaknesses are and allow God to come in and strengthen us in those areas and allow God to minister into our lives. In Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 to 7, and I think I'd love to read that. I love the book of Joshua. I love Joshua, particularly the beginning of Joshua, and the way that God dealt with him and the way that God used him and the way he was so faithful in his life. Initially to Moses, and then obviously it just carried on with him and the Lord. He just continue this, because that was his initial relationship. His initial relationship was so strong with God, he was committed to Moses and to the God of Moses, and that when Moses left, he just carried on. Yeah. As if nothing had happened. He just moved into the position that God had called him. So Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1 through to 7.
Now it came about, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Amen. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go.
Praise God. You know, there really is a promise of the equipping and the ability to be able to drive out nations.
Amen.
Here God was saying to Joshua, be strong and courageous. The promise starts off, first of all, and God says, there's this land, I'm giving you the land. And every place, verse 3, which the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given it to you.
Amen.
Wow, what a promise. Yeah. God is a God that keeps his promise. So God is here saying to Joshua, don't be afraid. The promises that I made are sure. The promises that I made, I will keep. And so God set these things. He reminded Joshua of the promises that he gave to Moses, so that he knows that God is not forgotten and God is going to carry out the very promises that he made. And so we find here that God is speaking to Joshua. And at this time, I believe he's having an encounter with God, which is an empowering encounter. What we have to realize is that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was not available to everyone. The Holy Spirit was on the prophet, the high priest, and the king, the leader. And obviously at this time, Joshua is the leader. And so I believe at this time, God, the Holy Spirit, came into Joshua's life in a more powerful way. And to empower him to do the work of taking the people into the promised land and equipping him to deal with the circumstances and situations that would come to pass as they move forward in the promised land. And we see there so that in his day, he was facing spiritual battles.
Yeah.
He had to force out the enemy. God said, I'll give you these lands. But, you know, they had to make a commitment to God. They had to stay in relationship with God. And in that commitment and relationship with God, God would help them drive out the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is today, is sort of similar to the church. God has equipped the church with the Holy Spirit. He's given us the authority. He's given us the power. Mm-hmm. And the word tells us he's given us the land.
Mm-hmm.
We need to drive out the enemy. And this is a spiritual battle. This is a battle that we have to work through spiritually. It is not people that are a problem. It is the spiritual powers that want to rule and to reign on the earth through the fall of Adam.
Yeah.
And so, but Joshua is, in one way, it's very similar. God has said, you have to begin to do this. And the church has to do this. God is not going to just do it with a sweep of his hand. He wants the church to take its authority. He wants the church to take its place. He wants the church, the bride of Christ, to be who she really is and to move forward in power and to rule and to reign. And so we see there that Joshua is being encouraged. You know, the victory we see, as far as Joshua is concerned, according to the word of God, the victory is won. But you have to go and do it. You have to drive them out. There are still battles to deal with. And also for us, we've read the end of the book. We know that from when Jesus rose from the grave, the work was totally finished.
Oh,
it was done. Death had no longer its sting. Satan could no longer hold us accountable for sin because of the sacrifice of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for our lives. And so today we know that the victory that we have has been won at the cross. And that the enemy now has to be forced out. The land has to be cleared. The earth has to be cleared from the demonic forces that want to hold humanity in captivity. So too long we as the church have waiting for God to take us up, to take us out, to give us the escape route, to get us away quick before the devil rules and reigns. The devil's not here to rule and reign.
Oh, yeah.
The devil is here to be defeated.
Mm-hmm.
The church of Jesus Christ is told to rule and reign. The people of God are told to rule and reign because the earth belongs to the Lord and everything that is in it. Hallelujah. And so we have to take that on board and we have to believe that. We have to act upon that. That is the Father's passion. That is the Father's will. And so in spiritual terms, land means people. When God said to them, take the land, it's take the people.
Yeah.
You know what? We are the people of God. We have to take this land. We have to take the people and lead them to Christ. We have to take these people and see them delivered from the power of darkness. We have to take the people and see them set free from the addictions that hold them in bondage. Pray for Vicky. Continue to pray for Vicky. She didn't turn up on Monday. We were supposed to prepare to do an interview with her. But she didn't turn up. She said she was coming, but she never arrived. The enemy wants to take her out. Wants to destroy her with a spirit of alcohol. And it is destroying her life. It's taking her children from her. And it's just destroying her, tearing her apart. But guess what? We have a Jesus who can beat this. But people have to surrender totally to Christ and let Christ begin to rule and reign. Yes, you may make mistakes along your journey, but he has made provision for each and every one of us. And he wants to see you moving forward in him. He wants to see you possessing the land. He wants you. The Holy Spirit wants you to be filled to full and overflowing. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 20, it says this, but if I cast out demons, this is when Jesus was being accused by the Pharisees that he was working for the devil and that he was an instrument of the devil. And so Jesus replies back to them and says this in verse 20 of Luke 11. He says, but if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Verse 21, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are undisturbed.
Amen.
But when someone stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away from him all his armor, all of his armor on which he had relied, and distributes his plunder. So Jesus is basically saying that when the strong man comes in, and the strong man should be the Holy Spirit indwelling in each and every one of us. That's a strong man that's to rule and to reign, that has the authority to set captives free. Jesus gave us that power and authority to see captives set free, to see lives delivered from the power of the enemy. And so we are a people that should be rising up in power. We should be a people who are being challenged by the Holy Spirit and directed by the Holy Spirit, that we will see people set free. We will see lives changed. And in this day and generation where lives are being torn apart and You know, we've even seen it just in our own situation with Tracy, where the circumstances that are going on in the world today, the media is bringing fear. There's so much fear and negativity that he's actually put Tracy in hospital. And there are many others that are, there's much talk about the mental health situation of peoples throughout the nations because of this lockdown situation in all of the nations. Well, we need Jesus. We need the Christ to come into people's lives. We need to find peace. You see, one of the names for Jesus, one of his titles is the Prince of Peace. And yet, when the devil comes in, all he comes with hatred, malice. He comes with all those sort of things. But Jesus came as the Prince of Peace and came against the devil. But you see, when the devil comes against us, he doesn't come in that shape or form. He comes against us and he has no mercy. He's a tormentor. And he's come to torment people. He's come to inflict upon the people that God loves, because Satan wants to destroy humanity. That is his absolute goal, that he would destroy, take captive all of humanity. But we have to realize that God has given us the victory through the cross, through the work of the cross, through the power of the cross, that we can set captives free, that we ourselves are free because of God working in our lives. He has come to set us free, and that we are free, and we are free indeed. So we need to remember the presence and the power of God working in our lives for his praise and for his glory.
Amen.
So the victory is ours. That's what the word, what it says in Ephesians, that we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers, against the powers, against the world's forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Where are the heavenly places? There's one translation says high places. High place is actually, the high place is actually in our memory. It's our minds. The devil always attacks us in our mind. Have you noticed when it's night time and you're just going to start, maybe go to sleep, your mind starts. Those thoughts start coming in. The enemy begins, and it all starts with a thought.
Mm-hmm.
You had that trouble before? No, not me. Yeah, of course we have. You know, in the Garden of Eden, when Satan came to Adam and Eve, he didn't tell them that they could do what they could. He just says, he just put a seed of doubt. Just dropped that little thought of doubt and said, Did God really say that? He dared say God didn't say it, because the truth will be revealed. He said, is that what God said? Did God really say that? And that seed of doubt came in. And suddenly, from that seed of doubt, we find that there is the opportunity to sin. And suddenly there's this collapse. And so with us, that thought is being sown into our hearts, into our minds. And we're being asked, you know, and we're fighting our thoughts. There's a battle going on in the high places.
Yeah.
And so this battle goes on. But Jesus has given us the victory. And so we find that we need to take upon the full armor of God. And verse 13 says, therefore take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the day of evil, and having done everything, to stand firm. Right? So we are going to find that we are going to have to resist the devil.
Amen.
Jesus never said, oh, that you'll not have any trouble, you'll never have any problems, now you've come to me. That is not what the word says. It says, you will have, in the world you will have trouble. But don't worry, he says, I've overcome the world. And the devil would seek to come against us, and the devil would seek to cause trouble. And the first place he tries is in our mind.
Yeah.
Brings doubt, brings fear, brings guilt, brings a feeling of unworthiness. And yet the word of God tells us that we've been made righteous,
mm-hmm,
through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through the forgiveness of sins. But you see, that thought comes in. You've made a mistake. God will never love you anymore. God will punish you for this. God is a God of mercy.
Amen.
And God looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ as he sacrificed towards us. And God is like the father of the prodigal son, waiting, reaching out for us, calling us back to himself, calling us into his presence. And so we need to realize that God is not a God of wanting to destroy us. God is a God of wanting to restore us.
Amen.
And there's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a destructive God, he's a restoring God. And the only thing that will be destroyed is that which is has never come out of him, that which has been tainted, that which is evil, that will be destroyed. But God is a God of love, and God is a God of purpose for each and every one of us. And so, because of the fall, since all of that time, humanity has been ravaged in some way by the devil, by him taking control of individuals, by him possessing individuals. And even today, there are individuals that we know of in the music scene that have actually sold their souls to the devil to get rich, to get famous. How long does it last? It might last 20 years, might only last 10 years, might last a little bit longer than that. But what's it worth in eternity? Where will you spend eternity? And some of these people have admitted that they've done these things, that they have sold their soul to the devil to get wealth, to get fame, to be successful. But now they're regretting it because they can't get out of it, they say. But we know the fact if they were to find Jesus and allow him to come into their life, they will be set free.
Amen.
They will be delivered. They will be healed. And the power of the devil will be broken over Amen. Their life. And so the word of God here tells us in Ephesians, first of all, in Ephesians 11, stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Stand firm against his plans. Stand firm against his thought patterns that he pushes into your heart and into your life. And then again he says, and having done everything, stand firm. But make sure before you put the full armour of God on. And then when you've done all of that, he says again in verse 14, he starts again and says, stand firm. Stand firm. You know, this word standing firm actually means be an antihistamine to the devil. Right? You know what an antihistamine is? When you've got something, you get this itch, this infection, and you take the antihistamine, this is the thing that counteracts this pain, this whatever is happening in your body. In the word of God says, be an antihistamine to the devil.
Oh, no.
Neutralize him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And you know, the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be here to neutralize the devil and all his ways.
Yeah.
And to stop him and to stop his poison from affecting humanity. You know, he's trying to bring society to a place of absolute anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen these last few weeks where one thing has led to another, and it's spread, you know, from one country, and it's gone global. This is global anarchy. This is not a movement that is created by humanity. This is a movement that is stimulated by the works of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil wants a human, and you've got society against itself, destroying itself, and the devil sat there laughing and thinking, this is just what I planned.
Yeah.
He wants to see people destroying each other.
Yeah.
That's not what the love of God does. The love of God is to restore and to bring back together. And so what is going on? The kingdom of darkness is built upon hatred.
Mm-hmm.
It lives and breathes hatred. It lives and breathes destruction. And we have to realize that this is what's happening. And so Satan is pouring out all his hatred on all of mankind,
mm-hmm.
and causing so many destructions and causing death. And it's unbelievable how these things are happening at this time. And the word of God here says that we wrestle. We have to, what does it mean when it says we wrestle? It means we have to confront it.
Yeah.
We have to stand and face this thing. We have to stand against it. We have to stand and take authority using the word of God. And as we use the word of God, That means we have to stand our ground. Yeah. We have to stand in our faith. Our faith needs to rise in more strength. We have to stand in faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that he has already done this work. We need to stand strong. We need to face the enemy, and we need to be pushing him back.
Mm-hmm.
And we are to remind the enemy of his destiny.
Amen.
And remind ourselves of our destiny
mm-hmm.
in Christ Jesus. You know, we have a destiny. We have a hope. We have a future. And it is in Christ. And God is preparing for us a great place.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the victory. The victory has already been won through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so we have to move forward in this, and we have to press in and to begin to see captives set free.
Amen.
And see people being delivered and healed. But you know, part all of this is going to be a need for spiritual prayer to start mm-hmm. pressing through, spiritual prayer to start destroying the works of the enemy, to pull down the strongholds, to break down the power of the enemy. Because the only power that he has is the power that people give him. The power that we have, God has given to us, and it flows in us and through us and brings down, and it is a force that stops the power of the enemy. It negates his power. It changes. It causes him to be weak. And we see God moving in power. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness, he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness and for 40 days and 40 nights, and it says, and the devil came to him. And what did and he brought his temptations. And what did Jesus do? He just simply said, this is what's written. God's word says. And he quoted scripture. He quoted the word of God. And you know, we have to make sure that we use the word of God. The word of God is our sharp two-edged sword. It is our spiritual authority. It is that authority that God has given to us. And that we need to learn to use it, to believe in it, to act upon it and press forward in this, because this is what the word is for. Over my years, I've seen the word of God being used in such a wonderful way. It's changed circumstances. It's changed situations. I quoted you one earlier on about God. We prayed and the word of God moved, and it changed circumstances. It changed the situation, and the answer was on its way. You read the book of Daniel. Daniel prayed. When things looked bad, Daniel prayed.
Yeah.
And God answered.
Yeah.
And the answer was immediately sent forth, and God brought deliverance.
Yeah.
You know, John the Baptist, when he was taken in prison, and he was concerned, he prophesied of Jesus and how that he was the Messiah. And when John was taken into prison, John sent his disciples and said, go to Jesus, ask him. Matthew 11 and verses 4-5. And the disciples of John went to Jesus to ask him, are you really the Messiah? Are you the one we're to look for? And Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus only gave him, said, tell him what's happening. This is where the church should be.
Yeah.
We are to be the image of Jesus. We are to walk in his footsteps. Jesus laid out a blueprint. Jesus laid out a template of how we were to act, and how we were to respond, and how we were to be. And there, just in a nutshell, in those two verses there, this is what the church should be operating in. The blind receiving the sight, the lame walking, people being healed, lepers cleansed, the deaf ears being opened, the dead being raised, and the poor having the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them, and they're being set free and brought into the presence and the prosperity of God. All of these things are possible, but this is the commission of the church. This is our commission to move forward in. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 12, and from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
Amen.
The church needs to become spiritually violent. The church needs to become spiritually awakened. The church needs to be challenging the devil. The church needs to be standing its ground spiritually. The church needs to be declaring the word of God. And as we declare the word of God, we shall see circumstances, situations changing. Because the word of God, God says in his word, it will never ever come back to him having not accomplished that which it was sent to do. And so God's word is out there. So let's, you know, by the Holy Spirit, let's send the word of God out there. Let's send the word of God out there to change circumstances, to change situations. You with families, you with children, you need to change the circumstance for your children's future. Mm-hmm. And the only way we can do it is by the power of the word of God, by the power of prayer, by the moving of the Holy Spirit over us. Mm-hmm. And we challenge those principalities and powers that seek to control our governments, to seek to control our leaders, that seek to bring down the nations.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is empowering his church. Let's move back into into Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. And verse 14, it says, stand firm.
Amen.
Therefore, having gird your loins with truth, and having the belt, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Right there. The Roman soldiers, they did not take off the first three garments when they were in combat, when they were on the battlefield, when they were at war, when they were preparing to fight a battle, and during the battle times, even when they were resting during the battle. It says they kept on the breastplate, they kept on, as the Bible says, the belt of truth and the shoes of the gospel of peace. In other words, the Roman soldiers kept their breastplates on. The Roman soldiers kept their belt on and kept their shoes on. Because, first of all, the breastplate, as Paul uses it as the analogy, is the breastplate of righteousness. It's there to protect your heart. It's there to protect you so that the fiery darts of the devil cannot penetrate, cannot attack you, cannot bring you down. It is there that the devil wants to seek to drive into your heart other things that will cause you to stray away from God, that will cause you not to be staying tuned and true to God. And then there's the belt of truth, to which everything is connected and it holds everything together. So in other words, the belt, everything was hung on to that belt. Everything was connected to the belt. The breastplate was connected to it. The sword was connected to it. And the shield of faith was attached at times to it. So this was the main connecting thing. This was to connect the inner parts, so it's protecting the inner parts of a person during battle. This belt of truth, holding things together. And you know, truth holds things together.
Amen.
The truth of God's word holds things together. Amen. When things are going crazy, if you have the truth, then the truth will set you free. The truth will hold things together. The truth will bring you through into victory. And then there's the shoes, the gospel of peace.
Yeah.
We, the church, the people of God, have got a message of the gospel of peace to carry. We're the carriers of the message. And, you know, the message from the camp of Satan is distress, disarray, discontent, destruction. He's trying constantly to destroy lives, and he's trying to exalt his throne above the Lord God Almighty. This is not going to happen.
No.
This is not going to happen. You know, the word tells us that Jesus is highly exalted, and his throne is above every throne, and his name will be highly exalted above every name. So we believe that. We stand on these promises. Now let's have a look at verses 16 and 17. And it's there. It says in verse 16, and in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. We're always ready for battle. We are always ready for battle through the Word of God operating in our lives. The thing is that the soldiers in the Roman army were trained. They went through a training program. We as the people of God need to go through God's training program, need to be made ready. We need to be soldiers fit and ready for the spiritual battle that the enemy would throw against us. We need to have the Word of God in us. That will give us the strength. That will give us the ability to deal with circumstances and situations. So we should be preparing ourselves, readying ourselves during this time where some of us are still in lockdown or to a measure. Continue to pray, continue to seek God, to continue to build yourself up. Prepare an arsenal of scripture that will come against the enemy and destroy him. Because that's what we're to do. Our battle is spiritual, and our prayers are weapons of warfare. Our prayers are missiles that will bring destruction to the work of the devil. And all we need to do is to begin to target and to launch our prayers and let them go as missiles and just destroy the targets. We've seen in the past on TV how they show us that during some of the wars that have gone on, these new types of missiles where they can put a pinpoint, like a laser mark, and they can launch a missile from miles, hundreds of miles away, and this thing can go and it can go and hit exactly on that spot. Well, guess what? We can hit the devil exactly in the right place, but we need to target him through prayer. We need to target him through the Word of God. We need to bring him down to bow his knee to the name and the Word of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so God has set us to do that. And so we see that we have to be made ready for battle. And Paul says to us to be alert and to be persevering and pressing through, to be determined to break through and to see the victory. You know, the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts. The Roman shield of faith was something like 2.5 foot wide and 4.5 foot tall. That's a big piece of shield. And that was there to protect them. And they would use that at times. They could lock it together and they would use it like it was a tank. And they would storm buildings and gates and they would cover themselves with their shields. And they would be like a human mobile armored tank in that sense. And they were completely protected from the boulders and the arrows and the spears that would be thrown against them. And that's how they were able to break through. And so that shield of faith that God has given to our faith in what? Our faith in the Word of God, our faith in God, our faith in Jesus Christ. He has come to set us free. He's come to break us, the power of the enemy. He's come to cause us to be victorious. He's placed his life in us. He's placed his truth in us. And he wants us to know the power of God working through us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so as we press in and hold that shield of faith, don't let doubt punch a hole in your shield.
Amen.
Because that's what happens. Doubt will try to punch a hole in your shield of faith.
Yeah.
Unbelief will try and punch a hole in your shield of faith. But the Word of God says no. The Word of God says, I will stand on your promises, Lord. I will stand on you because, Lord, you promised. You are faithful to your promise. And God is fully able to complete the work in our lives. And the helmet of salvation. Thank God, God has done something to protect our minds. As we said right at the beginning, the devil seeks to get into your thoughts. He seeks to get into your mind. He seeks to control your thinking. He seeks to direct your thinking. And he came to bring us down and to destroy us. Adam and Eve, as we said right at the beginning, the thinking. He got into the mind of Judas and began to destruction on him. And so our minds are powerful. Our mind is the high place. Everything starts with a thought. And Jesus said to us, you know, if you think a wrong thought, you've already done it. That's tough, isn't it? Well, I only thought it. You know, where did that thought come from? It just suddenly came out of nowhere and there it was. And Jesus said, well, if you thought it, you've already done it. Well, that, every one of us has failed. But thank God for his mercy and for his grace and his forgiveness to us. Mm. And he keeps us day by day. And that's why Paul is insisting that, you know, the helmet of salvation, protect your mind, stop the mind games of the devil trying to destroy you. Mm-hmm. You know, the TV, the news media that's going on and everything at this time, even the hospital have recognised this with Tracy. It's the mind games that are being played are affecting her mental health, affecting her well-being. And she needs to stop listening to it. And so we need to focus on the word. And the word is the thing that is important. You see, the end of the book says that Jesus brings the victory and brings us through into victory, and that the Church of Jesus Christ will triumph. And so we need to walk in that.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus met the madman of Gadara, after his encounter with Christ, he was in his right mind. Up until that point, he was absolutely, totally crazy. They couldn't chain him. He would break every chain that they made and tied him down with. He always broke out. But suddenly, when he met Jesus, he was now in his right mind. No longer was he tearing at himself. No longer was he destroying, but the man had been set free. Not just set free from his chains physically, but set free from his spiritual chains, from those that were destroying him, that were holding him back, that were breaking him. He was set free. And God moved through his son into his life. We're told in Romans that we are to renew our minds. Watch your thinking. Watch what you listen to. Watch what you read, because it creates, it molds, it shapes us. You know, they try and tell us all these TV programs, these TV games, they can't do any damage. They do, they set a pattern, they mold our thinking, they mold our attitude, they sterilize us they bring us to a point where we accept violence as, oh, it's okay because it's on TV, not real, is it? And then we just accept it in general and we become acclimatized and we become programmed to it. That's not what the Word of God says. And so we need to realize that what we see, what we hear wants to change us. And that's why I recommend each time to us, we read the Word of God out aloud, that Word of God will change us, that we will be renewed within our mind, that we'll be renewed within our spirit, because God wants to have, for you and I to have the best. And God wants you to know the truth. And so then the truth, it will set you free for a certainty. And as we let the truth of God come into our lives, it will empower us and it will equip us as we journey with the Holy Spirit towards the kingdom of God and to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in his fullness. And then finally, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, everything we have hinges around the Word. Who is the Word? The Word is Jesus. That Word was laid upon a cross and crucified, but again he rose again. That word is powerful, that word is life-changing, that word is dynamic, that word is living, and it has the ability to breathe life into a dead situation. Amen. It has the ability to create life, it has the ability to open blind eyes, it has the ability to replace limbs that have gone through leprosy. It has the ability to raise dead people and spiritually dead people. And so the Word of God is powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Word of God is the most important thing that we have. And as we develop and allow the Word of God to work in our lives, it will bring down the devil. It will bring down, it will cause him to be defeated. When, as I said earlier, when Jesus was in the wilderness, when the devil came against him, he just simply quoted the Word. And we need to realize and get a real grasp that this word is powerful.
Amen.
This word will change circumstances and situations. This word will be, as I said earlier, use it like rockets. Launch missiles against the enemy, the devil, and bring down these strongholds. That which is against us, that which is resisting the work of God, targeted in prayer, and cause the situation to change. And so as we target these situations and these circumstances, we shall see doors opening for ministry, for for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing is too big for God. Mm-hmm. Nothing is too great for God. And nothing can ever resist God. It says everything shall bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Ask the Holy Spirit what you should do. Ask the Holy Spirit how you should pray. And let the Word of God direct you. Pray the Word of God. Pray the Psalms out loud. And see them changing lives. You know, so often we've quoted in this time of lockdown, Psalm 91. Pray it over your life. And when you pray, believe it. Believe that that word will change you. Believe that that word will have an impact on you. You see, you know, we can go to the doctors and you go and get your prescription from the doctors and it says, take these 3 times a day. for 7 days, we'll say. And they tell you that you have to take all of those, you have to take them at the right time, or this thing isn't going to work for you. Well, let me tell you this. Take the Word of God 3 times a day mm-hmm. and see what it does to you in the next 7 days. See how it will change you. See how it will empower you. See how your faith will grow. You know, God wants you to be a people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. God wants you to be a people who are believing this Word because His Word is true. God is not a liar.
Yeah.
God gave His Word to challenge us, to quicken us, and to cause us to be a powerful force in the earth so that we are the people who are changing circumstances and situations around us. When something comes against us, we talked about when the enemy, the other week, when the enemy comes in, he says, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. What do we do when the enemy comes against us? We lift up the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, when the enemy came against the Roman soldiers, they had standard bearers.
Yes.
And they, no matter what happened, that standard never fell to the ground. If the soldier who was holding it was slain, somebody went and picked that standard up. And that standard was held. And I'll tell you this today, let the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ stand. Let the cross stand. Let the Word of God stand. And let it stand true. And let us stand behind it. And let us stand empowered by it. And let us push through and see the kingdom of God bringing to pass a life-changing experience in people's lives. And we will see the kingdom of God, it being established on the earth. That is what God promised. In the book of Daniel, that stone that was cut from the mountain, it began to fill the whole earth. And that stone is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let it fill the whole earth, and we need to start praying. And I think maybe we should, for 1 minute every day at 6 o'clock in the evening, have a time of a prayer for our nation, to change our nation, and see God move in power. And I think we should send that out on Facebook to all our friends and say, I want you to pray for 1 minute at 6 o'clock this week, every day. And every day continue till we see our nation changing.
Yeah.
And let's see how many thousands of people we could get praying for our nation. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
The Lord bless you.
Amen.
The Lord keep you. And He will establish you. And the Lord flow through you by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And I believe that this week there'll be testimonies of life-changing situations
Amen.
And circumstances, all for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you.
Amen.